Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Very excited about today's show. I was talking with Linda Sager, who many of you filmmakers and screenwriters know her work in coaching screenwriters, and her book, Making a Good Script Great, has been like a Bible to me and so many other people. Some of the folks include Ron Howard, and many of you know that Ron's dad, Rance, is a good friend of mine and was in my film Sister Amy, playing Amy Simple McPherson's father. Ron Howard said, Linda Sager's book, Making a Good Script Great, has informed all my movies, beginning with Apollo 13. Ray Bradbury, the great novelist, said Linda's technique is a light to see by. So she's been a blessing to so many of us as filmmakers, as screenwriters. Today we're going to delve into spiritual steps on the road to success. Linda Sager has a book, Spiritual Steps on the Road to Success. So how interesting that this writing teacher has now shared with us a book about how to gain our goal without losing our soul and some spiritual insights. And I'll be back in 20 seconds with Linda Sager, and this will be a show that will really, really help you, because particularly those of you in the arts, we want to reach our creative goals, yet we know there's some pitfalls with recognition as artists, with some of the people that are the sharks out there. How do we keep ourselves in a healthy spiritual place so we not only obtain success, but also maintain that success in a healthy way? So we'll be right back with Dr. Linda Sager. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome Dr. Linda Sager. How are you from Colorado?
Oh, I'm fine. So nice to be on your show, Richard.
Well, I'm really thrilled about it because we have a similarity. We're odd ducks in that we have this Hollywood thing and this spiritual Christian thing going on, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know that about you at first. I just knew you as the best screenwriting books I'd read that really helped me with my writing. Then I discovered you had this whole spiritual side in your book, Spiritual Steps on the Road to Success. By the way, to get this book, those of you listening, just go to her. You can, of course, get it at Amazon. She has so many books. But maybe the best place is her website, Linda Sager, but it's spelled like Bob Seger, S-E-G-E-R, Linda, S-E-G-E-R.com. But this book, Spiritual Steps, Linda, talks a lot about God's call on our lives. How did you discover your unique call to, you know, be a consultant and a coach to screenwriters, and then also your calling to share these spiritual insights? How did you figure out the call on your own life?
Well, it evolved over a long period of time, but I was passionate about drama. I love drama. I was a terrible actress. I couldn't get cast in college. I got a C in acting in graduate school, and when people think about going into drama, you think about acting. And one day when I was 19, I was in the corner of my dorm room. I went to college here in Colorado Springs, at Colorado College, and I just said, God, I don't understand. I'm passionate. How can I go into drama when I'm not good at acting? And the voice, you know, that little inner voice that sometimes you locate up in the corner of the room, said, your job is to keep the dream of drama alive. Mm. Now, I knew what that meant. It was a strange kind of thing, but I experienced that as a calling, that I saw drama as the most humane of the arts. It's the place where all the arts come together, you know, painting, music, sound, etc. And I said, there's something about the core of the humanity that is in the telling of human stories and expressing the human condition. And that's what I have to go after. And then eventually, when I couldn't get much of a job in the film industry, I took my doctoral dissertation, which was a particular way of analyzing scripts to understand why they work. And I started working on scripts that didn't work. I did a lot of free work at the beginning to see if I could help make better scripts. Mm. And this particular dissertation project turned into my business as a script consultant, and then I started to do seminars, and then I started to write the books. So it evolved, and there was a point in the process where my ego was definitely getting the better of me, and I imagined working for the studios and people winning Academy Awards and thanking me. And then I got another call, which was, I heard this little inner voice that said, you will never be allowed to not work with new writers. God used a double negative, which is why the call was very clear to me, was to say that my work as a script consultant was really over the whole spectrum, and if I got in the ego to think the only people I'm going to work with are people who are going to win Academy Awards, I got my call wrong. And so I work with new writers, and I do work with, you know, movies that get made. But I recognize, don't make this about ego. This is about how do you really nurture creativity, and I also felt, how do you nurture spirituality as well?
Yeah, that's really interesting, the God telling you that, because your book talks about the pitfall of success can be that pride that, okay, I've arrived and I'm elite and I'm better than these other folks. You know, one of the seven deadly sins you mentioned about the pride, and how you talked about interviewing Ron Howard, the humility he has. And I found that with his dad, Rance, as well, directing him in the film, just the tremendous humility that family has. So it's so important to stay grounded spiritually and you know, remain humble, and you really give us some guidance in this book about that.
Yeah, and you can get very confused. I've had friends say to me, I work so hard at what I'm doing, and I don't get the applause and the recognition that some other people do, and I'm getting confused about this. And I usually say, are you doing what you feel called to do? And I say, yeah. And I say, well, then you don't have to worry about it. Because however, whether you do well, whether you get recognition, whatever it is, you have a part to play, and you just have to be true to that calling. When I started out, I thought, if I can be true to my calling, I think God will take care of me. I thought, I don't think I'm going to do as well as my colleagues. I think they'll make more money and have more applause, but I think God will see me through. And actually, I think I have done better than a lot of my other ones. And I'm not saying that as an ego thing, just sort of I think that is probably the truth. But I thought that doesn't necessarily go with the calling. It may. And it's not about money. It's not about fame. It's not about applause, ego, any of that. Is I found that keeping your eye on the big goal rather than the little one. So my big goal is, how do I help people make better films? And anybody who is there to help people make better films is a colleague of mine. That is, they're not my competition, they're my colleague. And so I don't have to feel competitive with them. I just say, we're all out here trying to do something good in the world, and it isn't about competition. It's really about, I think of it as collaboration. I think of it as contributions, and say that's what you keep your eye on. And what you mentioned about the calling, I think the calling evolves over a period of time, and so you take the leap of faith, you take the one step because you feel moved in one direction, and then you take the next, and if you have to go to the right or the left, you do that. So it doesn't just suddenly come out that you see the whole vision. It may take some years, but you just keep walking on that path as, sometimes we say, as the way opens. And if the way opens for only 5 feet in front, you just keep walking, because you, in a sense, are walking on faith, and you're walking to try to be guided by what you're doing.
Yeah, you say that the leap of faith in your book, and by the way, if you're listening, the book Spiritual Steps to Success, Linda Sager, L-I-N-D-A, Linda, and then Sager, spelled S-E-G-E-R.com. You talk about the leap of faith as something that we all take as humans, and you mentioned even the scientist, even the unbeliever, even the person, we all take these leaps, you say, because we take steps in life where the future is not assured and we don't know the end. It could be a new relationship. It could be a new job. So we all, in a sense, have to take these leaps like Indiana Jones, you know, over that chasm, and you know, trusting that step will appear under our feet sometimes, huh?
And there's a fine line sometimes between the leap of faith and stupidity. And I think one has to be a little careful there, because sometimes say, well, God wants me to do this, so I'll mortgage my home and I'll borrow money from the bank. And I've seen people do a lot of stupid things and say, I'm not so sure God is calling you to be stupid. But I do think sometimes you step out in faith and you say, I just feel this is the right thing, and I think I figured out how to do it enough that I am not putting me and other people at tremendous risk. One can have the risk of saying, well, I have to downsize, and that's a risk, but you still can say, but it's not stupid. I'm not going to end up on the street, or I'm not going to hurt myself or hurt other people in doing something that, you know, so you really listen. And one of the things, I'm a Quaker. I grew up Lutheran, but I've been a Quaker since 1970. And Quakers have what is called a clearness committee. And it's something anybody can do. You get a couple people together and you say, I'm making a big decision. I have a choice to make, and I don't want to be stupid about it. I'm trying to discern the leading of the Spirit. And these people don't so much give you advice, but help you discern the Spirit. And so they might ask you questions, or they might say, oh, this reminds me of, or they might say, have you thought of? But when you, sometimes you're in a place, you say, I don't know if I'm hearing it correctly. That can help. And I know people who are not Quakers who have done that to discern a call. Say, I just get four friends or four people that I consider somewhat wise and good at asking questions, and we try to listen, what is that? And I do that on a number of decisions in my life, big decisions, or sometimes I'm invited to go on a seminar, like I was invited to go to Iran at the end of April to do a seminar. And I spent a few weeks praying about it, meditating on it, and I decided not to go, although it was of great interest to me, and it had a religious component to this film festival that interests me. But I ask advice, and as we sometimes Quakers say, you sit with it, or you season it, or you wait for the light to discern that call and whether that leap of faith is the right leap or not. And you learn to say no as well as to say yes.
Mm. That is such great, great advice. Like the Proverbs say, in abundance of counselors, there is safety, there is victory. And what I was watching the debate, the Republican debate, and someone asked Trump, the one main moderator said, with all your success, do you have someone that can correct you, or that can, you can admit that you were wrong and take their advice and that sort of thing? And that was a pretty poignant question to ask someone, because when the money, the success, the fame comes, there's a lot of yes people. And so how, you know, we have, you know, a lot of artists and celebrities that like the show. What would you suggest when they try to think about who would be on their clearness committee, what type of people? Because I've seen sometimes trusting the wrong person backfire here in Hollywood, like where some of the recovery groups I participate in, where a writer, a reporter was in the group. And so, you know, someone's opening up, they're confessing their sins, and the next thing it's on the National Enquirer because there was someone in the circle that wasn't safe. So how do you pick the people that will be, you know, have that Christ-like quality of being safety and a good counselor and a safe counselor and a good spiritual support?
Well, one thing is, it is true, the more, quote, successful you become, that is, the more money you have, the more people who tell you how wonderful you are, you really can live in a bubble. And there has to be some way of breaking that bubble. I think one important thing is to be in a spiritual community that nurtures you. So you're in a church where you you know, you get that feedback and you say, I make sure that there are people who are going to be honest with me. And I think sometimes is to also put yourself into situations that are not quite so comfortable. Whatever that might mean, I mean, whether it means you take a role that stretches you, or you say, I'm going to write the script I've been hired to write, but I'm also going to be over here on this side doing what my passion is. I have to keep myself in touch with my heart or my spirit or where I'm being led about that. There's another thing I talk about in the book. I have a chapter called Becoming Unimportant. I say what happens is when you become important, that is, you become successful and perhaps become a public person, everyone has an opinion on about you, whether it's true or not, and you can protect yourself really easily. And I think it's important to put yourself in a position where you are not the top of your game. And that's why people have avocations, or they say, well, I play tennis, but I'm not very good. Or I have known people who took up tango. I took up horseback riding. I did horse shows for 10 years. And whatever that thing is, what happens is there's a space in your life where you are not at the top of the hump and you are a beginner and you are sometimes criticized. You say, let me have those spaces in my life. Now, sometimes what people do is they do volunteer work, and they go into a field, and they say, I don't know about the homeless, but I'm going to work with the homeless, and I'm going to leave myself open. And I think it's really important to have that other part of you that is not quite so important, as well as in your important work, is to let things get through to you.
Mm. Yeah, you talk about a fall from grace, and use an example of the man that, with the VeggieTales, and how they were so successful as a Christian show, and then for children, and then struggled financially. And how can a person that has a fall from grace, be it a financial fall, a moral fall, how do you think they can turn that fall into a beautiful dive that lands them in maybe a healthier place, or a more spiritually wise place?
I think one thing is that it's really easy when you're successful to think you don't need God. And I think to create rituals in your life, for instance, when I started to do better, I said, God, you know, my whole relationship with God was get me through today and help me pay my rent. And I said, things are going to change when I do well. So I made a promise to God that I wouldn't desert God. And I said, I have no idea who we are going to become down the road, but I will continue to read the Bible. I'll continue to go to church. I'll continue to pray. I'll continue to do all this stuff and let our relationship, you know, make a change. So I think that's important, is make some promises and then really work hard at keeping those promises to God, because you know that things will continue to change and have a new dynamic in that relationship. And for me, it took about 3 years to rework my relationship with God.
Interesting. It seems like sometimes faith with the arts is wonderful. I was in Italy with a film I made that was in a festival, and just seeing the Vatican and all these wonderful art, you know, and sacred art. But then sometimes with certain more strident or fundamentalist religious folks, it seems like it makes the art not as good. The characters are very black and white, and the Christians are the shimmering, shining, great people, and the unsaved people are all bad. And how do you think a person of faith can produce really good art and avoid the pitfalls of the kind of propagandist preachy stuff that's not as good? You seem to integrate both quality work in helping writers, but at the same time have this faith. Have you ever felt maybe pulled, or I know you were criticized on one of your books about the Democratic side of Jesus
yes.
principles and the Democratic side. So I imagine fundamentalists have not always been thrilled with you, but how do you maintain the quality in what you do, and not let the religious side hurt that quality, if that makes sense.
Well, one thing that happens with Christian writers, because they want to be nice and they want to do redemptive scripts, they start out with redemption. I said, that's where you get to at the third act. You don't start there. So I think that's very important for writers to realize Jesus was involved in the very, really the mud of life. I mean, look at who he ate with, the taxpayers and the prostitutes. Mm-hmm. And say, you have to be in the midst of life to write about life. You have to get, one writer said, you know, you've got to get kind of at that truth, that real struggling truth about what is the depth of life about. And if you become too high and mighty as a person, it might hurt your writing because you've been too judgmental and you've been too much into let's see how fast we can get transformed and redeemed. And I think it's important for Christians to be with lots of different people. I mean, don't just say I only relate to Christians or I only relate in my denomination. I've got to relate. This is what Jesus was involved with. In fact, when I went through one of my sort of spiritual questionings, I wondered, do I want to stay a Christian? I was a senior in college. And so I studied the religions of the world for 6 months, and I said, what I love about Christianity is that Jesus was so involved in life. It was not a withdrawal from life at all. It was right in the middle of it. And I also felt, as somebody interested in drama, that I love the dramas. I said, my gosh, this is opening up this world to me, that I am meeting people in movies and in theater that I would never meet otherwise, and I'm finding about the struggle and what people go through. And I don't want to remove myself from that. I want to go more deeply into that without being stained by it. I mean, there's a lot of evil out there in the world, too. But being able to say this is part of the job of a Christian is to connect with the depths of life and to not skim surfaces, to get into the, what somebody says, the awful truth, awful truth of what life is about. But you still bring that faith, and you, I mean, I see the world, it's a broken world that's been redeemed, and I don't want to pretend that it's not broken. I don't want to pretend that there is not sin and evil and awful stuff, and I also want to recognize there is light and there's faith and there's love and there's the good stuff, and that that redemptive work continues to go on. So I think as Christians, we have to be in touch with both sides.
Mm. Well, you address that so well in this book. And those of you listening, you can get Linda Sager's book, Spiritual Steps on the Road to Success, at her website, Linda Sager, L-I-N-D-A, and then Sager is spelled like Bob Seger, S-E-G-E-R.com. You talk a lot about the faith leap, like we were saying, and how to make sure, you, as you said earlier, you don't go off into stupidity. one of my therapist friends has talked about the irrational belief of what psychologists call magical thinking. And in your book, you talk about stepping out in faith, but then you say there's a fine line between that and stupidity. How do you find that it's God? Is it an internal thing for you, that still small voice? Says in Philippians, he works in you to will and do his pleasure. And I guess this clearness committee you mentioned earlier, but how do you advise people to have a faith that's really going to be healthy and work versus people just getting crazy?
Yeah, well, one of the things, I started doing quiet time in the morning when I was about 21. I was staying with a cousin who did this, and I came in the room one time, and I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm reading the Bible and praying. I said, oh. It was as if it were a very weird thing at that time. I mean, Lutherans, we did devotionals and we went to church and all that, but that kind of thing. And so I started doing that, and I would say 90% of my mornings I do that. And one of the things I think is important is that we might talk about listening for God. It's not just about praying for God or telling God what we want to do, but to try to hear. And I think that evil is done in frenetic atmospheres. I think that there's a desperation about evil, and I believe in evil, and however people want to call it, negative energies or Satan or the devil or whatever, I think that there's real dangerous and difficult things in life that can pull us down and that can stop us from doing our calling and can stop us from being in the light. And so one of the things is to find that quiet time and to sit with it and to sit with decisions and to try to get out of that frenetic energy. And it's a hard thing for me because I'm an extrovert and because I'm an achiever. I've got loads of ideas and loads of books I want to write. And I think introverts have an easier time being more contemplative and having the quiet time. But I think it is important because you start to see the glimmer and something in that quiet. It feels better. Now, I also don't take that stance about, well, God told me. I said, my perception is that this came from God, and when I tested it and when I followed it, it felt right and it seemed to bring about good things. And one of the tests is always, are the spiritual gifts coming out as a result of this? So if you are following the path, the spiritual gifts, patience, gentleness, love, hope, faith, self-control, I mean, that whole list, Galatians 5 as well as 1 Corinthians 13, et cetera, come out. And if the opposite come out, nastiness, competitiveness, irritation, impatience, bragging, egocentric, if that's what's coming out, then one has to test and to rethink, because walking in the light, walking guided by God, is supposed to bring about good things, not making more divisions, not making things hateful and, stirring up irritations, for instance. So I think that's another test is, am I contributing good things? Are good things happening as a result? On the other hand, sometimes we are on the right path and we're getting what I might call the icky things coming out because of just human nature. I mean, when I started on my path, I was very competitive at the beginning. And I said, I don't like this. I think my path is correct, but the way I'm doing it, trying to figure out whether I'm better than someone else, I said, that's not the right way to do it. So I prayed for a long time. I actually think it took me 10 years to get over my feelings of competitiveness. And I kept working on changing the thought, these are not my competitors, they're my colleagues. And I have lovely relationships with the other people who are script consultants, seminar leaders, and authors. We endorse each other's books. We suggest each other for jobs. And it's just a lovely colleagueship, but it took a long time to change that thought and to say, now I think what I was doing was a good thing, but how I was doing it, I had to look at that as well.
Wow, what a great message. I can't believe how the time's flown by, but what a great thing to think about as we end is, changing that competitive, that spirit of competition into cooperation, because, yeah, it feels so negative when we're in that competitive, jealous space. And you say in your book to watch out for that negative energy that takes us away from it. Well, what? Just some closing. We got like 20 seconds, Linda. Would you tell people how to be in touch with you and before we go?
Yes, my website, lindasager.com, will also take you to my spiritual website, You can just look at spiritual books. But I also have a website called spiritualstepsbook.com, which is based on the Spiritual Steps on the Road to Success book.
Well, thank you, Linda. I have had such a wonderful time. I feel like I've just been fed spiritually by these wonderful things in the book and what you've shared today. God bless you, and keep up following that calling on your life.
Yes, and God bless you also, and thanks so much for having me on. This has been great.
Oh, you're welcome, Linda, and thank you to all of you for tuning in today. Go with God and keep on those spiritual steps on the road to success, so you can gain your goal without losing your soul.